Hello, my name is Sam Clements, and welcome to The Love of Cinema, a Picture House podcast proudly supported by Kia, champions of independent cinema. And welcome to this bonus episode, a special mini episode that we like to drop in the pod feed on occasion when we're lucky enough to be in the same room as one of the filmmakers, maybe, of one of the films that we play at Picture House Cinemas. So thank you, everybody, for A, listening, but also subscribing. If you subscribe to the show, you'll never miss an episode like this. On this episode, I am delighted to say we are joined by legendary filmmaker Baz Luhrmann, who has a brand new film in cinemas this weekend, Elvis, Baz Luhrmann's take on the story of Elvis, the king. He's back in the building. He's in the cinema. Elvis is played in this movie by Austin Butler, a relative newcomer, but he is mind-blowing as the king of rock and roll. An incredible, incredible performance. He is someone to watch in future. I'm sure we'll see a lot more of him. It's not just the Austin Butler show, though. Whilst the film is called Elvis, there are other characters in the movie, including Tom Hanks, plays a key supporting role. We've also got David Wenham in there too, Cody Smith-McPhee. It's a stacked cast. Baz Luhrmann, if you've seen any of his other films, Moulin Rouge, Romeo plus Juliet, Australia, I mean, yeah, incredible body of work. Yeah, he attracts an awesome cast, and yeah, that's definitely on display here. The film is an absolute joy. It's also incredibly cinematic, so looks and sounds, very importantly, great in a cinema auditorium. Right, that's more than enough from me. Please allow me to introduce you to my colleague Felicity Beckett, who hosts our Inside Picture House program you may have seen on YouTube. Flick spoke to Baz Luhrmann whilst he was in London for the premiere of the film, talking about the movie. I think he did a few Q&As. We hosted a special event at Picture House Central. And yeah, Flick caught up with Baz whilst he was in town. And they had a great old chat about Elvis. Please enjoy. And after listening to this interview, or hey, maybe whilst listening to this interview, go to the cinema and check the film out. It's you won't be disappointed. It's a real treat. I'm going to go again tomorrow. Enjoy.
Welcome, Baz Luhrmann, to the Picture House podcast. And we're here to discuss your incredible film, Elvis, which Lisa Marie Presley described as absolutely exquisite. And she also said that Austin Butler channeled my father heart and soul. His performance is unprecedented and finally done accurately and respectfully. I couldn't agree more.
Get a haircut, buttercup.
In that moment, I watched that skinny boy transform into a superhero. He was my destiny.
I wish to promote you, Mr. Presley.
Party in jail.
Are you ready to fly?
I'm ready.
What an accolade. Was Austin the final perfect piece in your 20,000 piece Elvis puzzle?
Well, you know what? He was the only piece, really. Like, I secretly, in the back of my mind, because I find it so torturous, or I don't know, I feel fearful when I go to take on a movie, you know? And I start out with simple thoughts, and I end up having all of this weight put on them. And I thought, well, maybe I won't find an Elvis. I used to always lay down these rules, you know, if I can't find an Elvis, I'm not doing it. And then this tape pops up and this young guy singing with crazed emotion, crying. And I knew it wasn't really an audition. I didn't know what it was. It seemed like some sort of, I don't know, observational experience. And I brought him in, and I mean, he's been a revelation and a friend and he's lived as Elvis for 2 years. I mean, the level of devotion and the level of commitment. You know, I found out later, of course, and I'm sure it's being talked about now, that what happened was he lost his mum the same year as Elvis did. And he had this terrible nightmare, and he came down to the, he thought, he was just telling it then, what can he do with these feelings? And he went down and he put the video camera on and played Unchained Melody. And his agent forced him to send that video in.
That's so moving. And from that moment on, I mean, it all feels incredibly spiritual.
Yeah, I'm glad you say that, because I'm not Mr., you know, a ghost came to me in the night and said, you must make, reinvent the musical, you know? But every step of the way in this film, there's been a feeling of, like, just spirituality. And one thing I will tell you that was my biggest discovery about Elvis is when he was a kid, those stories I've got in the movie, you know, where he's in the, they were told to me verbatim by that young boy who's now an older man who passed last year. And when the preacher puts his hand and says, leave him be, he's with the spirit, that was true. And to the day he died, Elvis, after two shows, even bloated and not well, would get with the Sweet Inspirations and sing gospel till 6 a.m. And the one thing you know about him is that he was a spiritual person, just deeply spiritual.
Yes, and the effect he had on his audience, like,
yeah.
It was often ridiculed that it was screaming women, but it was beyond that. It was transcendent. It was a preacher.
Yeah, it definitely gets written off as the keening of crazed women, but his ability to exalt an entire audience, men, women, and of every age, and I think that that's like what a preacher does, or that's what happens in a revival tent. People get out of their bodies and they get into a spiritual state. And I think he came from that, and I think he channeled that, and it happened to audiences. And I've talked to people who were there on opening nights of Elvis when he was at his peak, and they just said, suddenly they just weren't themselves.
Yeah, and I think when you're bearing witness to someone who is channeling in that way, you cannot help but get swept up. And I think with Austin and his performance, I felt very shaken by it for quite a few days.
Yeah, I think that's great to hear, because I just tell this story. I had a crew member who worked with me 30 years who only said about 6 lines, because he thinks to me in 30 years, you know, because he pushes the truck around. And he comes and he says, oh, Baz, you know, I've shot the Star Wars and I've shot Thin Red Line with Terry Malick, but we were watching Elvis do the Elvis, the concert, and we shot a lot more than's in the movie. He said, I've never seen anything like that. He said, like, what is happening? He was sort of going like, how is this happening? We are all, we can't work because we're all swept up in the feeling.
Incredible, incredible. And it was so respectful, you know, like often you've seen when Elvis has been played, and in a lot of rock biopics, it's extremely difficult, I think, to nail that very precise channeling that's going on. And often Elvis has been only pastiche.
Yeah, the Halloween costume, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that was Austin's number one thing, was to reveal the humanity of the man. And someone wrote somewhere, and I thought, gee, they've nailed it, which is they said, I went in and I thought I met someone I didn't know. You see, we all think we know Elvis, but what we know is the Halloween costume or the Lilo and Stitch character, or even if you're a fan, you know, he's the most impersonated person on the planet. But that's an impersonation. That's not a person.
Yes, and that is not touching on the actual spirit that he was. And I think Austin definitely nailed that.
Yeah, you keep saying spirit. You keep saying it over and over again.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm saying it in the most complimentary way, because I can't think of any other way of describing what is happening now. People are seeing the film, is that Austin's managed to actually channel the spirit of the person. And there must have been something extraordinary about Elvis. That, you know, you can be good looking, you can be good singer, but there are good looking singers are a dime a dozen. His effect on audiences, and that's the thing. The consequent malign, he's been maligned and misunderstood, but he was a uniter. He was spiritual. He was definitely kind, and he was about bringing people together. And I think in this really dark time we're in, we just wish the hell someone was around like that.
Oh, completely. And cinematically speaking, of course, that is communion. That is what we do. So, yeah, can you talk about the film being so cinematic and audiences and people coming together?
Well, yeah, because I make theatrical movies. I mean, meaning the theatre. And look, I can sit and watch an episode of something on my phone by myself as much as anybody else. And that's a good experience. It's like ordering takeout. But since the pandemic, the hunger to go out and eat and dine together, to use the metaphor, to go into a theatre with strangers and to watch a story and laugh at the same moment or cry at the same moment or feel at the same moment, it means you're not lonely. And loneliness has cut a swathe through the world lately. The consequences of, we still haven't recognised, but I can tell you, the hunger in the streets of Paris, where I recently was, or in London, or in Cannes, to be with other people and to commune is very, very real. And it's like people are eating food after having been starved. They are desperate for emotional food. And that means you have to go out to the cinema.
It's essential to our survival. It absolutely is.
Correct. No question.
Let's go somewhere new. See worlds we've never seen before. So that we can feel inspired. Whether you're sitting in a cinema or in one of our cars, inspiration comes when we feel something new. That's why our electrified range is designed to take you on inspiring journeys. Kia, proud supporter of independent cinema. Kia, movement that inspires.
So can you tell me a moment where you fell in love with Elvis and where you fell in love with film? And is this the kind of meeting of those two moments? Are they both here, like buzzing?
Well, the Elvis thing for me was, I was such a little kid, like, that we had a cinema for a while and I watched the groovy short films. But something I was reminded of, this is not even probably going to answer your question, but the local church, I had a school of three rooms. There were three rooms in our school. And there were the tough kids, Peter Dunn, I remember his name was. And I was a little kid and I was going to church. And Dad made us have short hair, so we were outliers because long hair was big in the 70s. And we were put upon a lot. But for some ridiculous reason, I thought it was a good idea to wear pink socks. Anyway, this whole bunch of tough boys got around me. And they were going to slap the hell out of me because, you know, what are you little fairy, wearing, you know, pink socks? And they're about to, like, pound me. And all of a sudden I heard this voice going, what are you guys doing? And I said, oh, look at him with his pink socks. And Peter Dunn, who was the coolest guy in the school, I mean, this was like sixth class. I probably was like seven. He said, Elvis wore pink socks. And everyone just scattered. I just remembered that the other day. So I guess that's that symbology stuck with me. And then it came to going, like, I wanted to use a life to explore America, the cell, the art, the show, the beers, and all of that. And I think Elvis, I just feel like tackling Elvis, I don't know, I seem to be wedded to tackling things everyone goes, no one cares about that. Ballroom dancing will never be popular. Shakespeare, who cares? You know, Gatsby, how boring. I don't know why I get myself into these pickles. Could be easier, I suppose.
But was there a cinematic moment that you felt worked perfectly? Because I love the colour, like that blazing vermilion red behind his beautiful face. Like, was there a moment cinematically where, even like, you know, that bit in The Wizard of Oz where it goes from black and white to technicolor, for you, was there a perfect moment of that color and coming to life? And
I mean, that's the thing. We shot the film in three parts. There are three Elvises. There's Elvis the Rebel, who's like a punk. He's the original punk. And you've got, there's so much more to say about the fact that growing up in the black community, like Eminem, which is why Eminem's got a song in the movie. And then it was dangerous, you know, and they wanted him dead. And then there was Elvis, the movie star, who's in a sort of bubble. And then there's Elvis, the sort of apocalypse now, 70s Elvis, who's lost in the jungle, you know, in Vegas, trapped there because of Colonel Tom Parker, plot twist. But we shot it in three different ways. We shot it in three different lenses. We shot it with three different colors. Because the thing is that he only lived till he was 42, but it seemed like he lived for 1,000 years, like he had such a gigantuan life.
And from the 50s, the 60s and the 70s, they were extraordinary cultural changes, a shift in that time. I mean, it was
incredible. We haven't had it.
No.
Like whatever happened the last 10 years, it's not like, okay, there's a pandemic, but it's not like clothes and things have changed that much. But the clothing of the 50s compared to the clothing of the 60s compared to the, just to take an example, or the music, radical leaps, you know, of the 20th century.
Just different planets. I just want to ask you quickly about Tom Hanks, which is terrible to say quickly about Tom Hanks, but what an inspired piece of casting. Can you tell me why you chose him?
Yeah, because he's not only one of the greatest actors of our time, I think he's one of the greatest actors works of all time, but also the Colonel is this giant character. Tom isn't inaccurate in his portrayal. He was brave enough to talk the way this funny man talked. See, I heard tapes. I lived in Memphis and I was at Graceland. I had an office there. And I heard tapes, never before heard. And the Colonel would change his voice depending on who he was. And he was such a wackadoo, strange character. He was all about discombobulating people by being kind of funny. He was like a weird clown with scissors, you know? Like, there was something very destabilizing about him. And Tom went there. You have to have a brave actor like Tom, who sort of got nothing to prove or lose, who reveled in the idea of doing a character that probably the audience don't want to see him do because they love him. And, you know, the Colonel is not a particularly lovable, cuddly character.
No, and he said he was very shocked when he found out that Priscilla spoke so highly of him still.
Yeah, but that's the thing about snowing. Snowmen pull the wool out of your eyes, bilk you, take your money, and you like it.
Yes. Isn't that just the best thing to end on?
Crazy.
We could all learn from that, definitely. Baz Luhrmann, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for this incredible film and the best tribute I've ever seen to the
Thanks
King.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate that. I can't tell you.